You're listening to Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken on the Tangent Bound Network.
Do not adjust your settings. Take your hands off the keys. Your search is over. These are the geeks you're looking for. You found Geek Watch 1 with Kylan and Ken.
This is going to be quite a ride.
Hey, Jim! Boom! That's a bad outfit! Boom!
I love you.
Me too, man. Hit me! My turn! Am I the meanest?
Sure enough!
Am I the prettiest?
Sure enough!
Am I the baddest mofo low down around this town?
Sure enough!
Well, who am I?
Sure enough!
The Shogun of Harlem.
For what lies ahead, ready are you?
We're police officers. We're not trained to handle this kind of violence.
Hey, Geeksters, I'm Kylan.
And I'm Ken.
And you found Geek Watch 1.
Welcome back, Geeksters. Issue 94 of Geek Watch 1. Close to, or rapidly approaching that big number 100.
That's right.
That is crazy. Yep. When I first started this, 100 looks like so far away.
When we first started getting a year, it looked like so far away.
It did.
And now that we've proved we've gone 2 years, we're almost at 100 episodes, we're going forever.
Forever.
Okay. We're immortal.
Hey, we're going to be like Kiss. Eventually, we're going to be too old, and we'll just hand it off to someone else that will keep doing Geek Watch 1.
There we go. And you'll never know it's not us.
That's right.
They'll just use our names.
That's
right. At that point, our pets will be able to, like, genetically be modified to be able to do it.
That's right. They'll be talking. If you've read, you know, Scooby Apocalypse, you know about all of the research and that they're doing to make dogs talk.
Dude, Vernon has been loving that comic. If you haven't checked it out, Scooby Apocalypse is a totally different take on Scooby-Doo.
I read the first volume. It was surprisingly okay.
Yeah. Well, it's cool because it is Scooby-Doo. All the characters are there, but it's not the silly slapstick Scooby-Doo from the cartoon.
It gave them realistic personas, at least. You know, like, what's her name? Thelma? She's actually a scientist. Like, she's not just some dork who knows all the answers. She's an actual scientist, and Daphne is an investigative reporter.
Now, have you got a chance to check out that Wacky Raceland they did? They only did 6 issues, but they did it as an actual contained 6-issue story.
No, I didn't read that one.
That one was really, really interesting. I believe all of those, the volumes of the first issues of all the Hanna-Barbera Beyond are actually available digital from the libraries now.
Okay. Nice.
So if you go through Hulu or Overdrive or any of those other ones, Hoopla.
Hoopla, yeah.
Hoopla is where I usually get comic books if I'm going to get them from the library, and I believe Hoopla has all those.
Yeah.
So give them a chance.
To be honest, the only reason I read Scooby Apocalypse was because I got a free review digital version.
Ah.
So I wasn't going to pay for it or anything.
Well, I suggest check out Wacky Raceland because it has all the characters just like Scooby-Doo does.
Right.
But it's got a Mad Max post-apocalyptic time frame. And the whole thing, by the end, you find out who... Because remember, did you guys ever watch Wacky Raceland?
Yeah.
Or Wacky Racers?
I did not.
Well, you remember they had the narrator that talks over...
Yes.
Right.
And this, he's actually a character in the story.
Oh, okay.
So he's talking, and all the characters in the story can hear him.
Right.
And then towards the end, you actually find out who he is and how this all ties together.
Okay.
I wish it would have had more of it, but this was actually, like I said, it was a nice, contained 6-issue story.
Right.
So, Flintstones, I gave a chance, and Vernon gave a chance. Both of us, it's too far away from what Scooby-Doo is. For me, there was too much stuff they put in there they didn't need, Flintstones. Flintstones. I'm getting my stuff mixed up. But in Flintstones, Fred and Barney, are veterans of the post-Neolithic wars or something like that.
Yeah.
And they actually go to, veteran support groups and stuff, and it's just...
That's
weird.
A little too, hardcore.
Yeah, they actually have, PTSD or something.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Flintstones already was a little bit real world anyway, because it was a cartoon intended for adults.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was on prime time when it was first
started. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to mess with it that much.
Yeah. Well, the only one that I'm still reading Future Quest. Because, like I said, it is a Johnny Quest comic that all these other characters get put into.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right.
But, I don't know, we ended up with Hanna-Barbera Beyond. They do have the new ones coming out, too, so those are going to be interesting to see what happens. Because after seeing what they did with Jetsons, with the Flintstones, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Jetsons. Because Jetsons is coming.
Yes, exactly. Well, especially since... the Jetsons cartoon was the kind of idealistic future that never was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To see what they do with that, yeah.
The other one is, did you see the stuff about what the new Snagglepuss is going to be?
No.
Snagglepuss is being done as a, like a gothic playwright in the South, but he's gay.
Okay.
Which he always was on the show, yeah. I don't care what anyone says.
He always had the, felt like he had those tendencies anyway,
he was
but that's
feminine,
what doing
for
with
sure.
That's what they're going with the
yeah, yeah, actually, happens. Yeah, I did hear about that, that's true.
It's a different take on him, yeah.
It definitely fits.
I don't remember what the other ones are that are coming, but... But Hanna-Barbera, like I said, the Hanna-Barbera Beyond titles are taking an interesting twist.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they're, like I said, they're trying to bring them up with us that grew up with the Hanna-Barbera cartoons now, make them for the adults.
Right.
So, but, we went on that tangent, but, so what have you guys been up to this week? Other than healing up.
Recovering from colds again. That time of year.
Kylan was dead for a couple days. You guys heard about last episode.
No, I really was. It was not good.
Yeah, he, after the Meeple episode, on the way home, we were desperately searching for an open drugstore because he needed NyQuil. He was so desperate. And we got to one, just as we got near home, we got to one right at 9 o'clock and it closed at 9, so then we had to find the one that was open till midnight and go, mm-hmm. you know, a little ways out of our way to get to that one. So I was like, we need NyQuil. So yeah, that's how bad he was. He was out.
Wow.
I did not move on Tuesday.
I mean, he did not even make it out of the house to drive me to the bus stop on Tuesday. No. Like, that's how bad it was. I had to drive myself to the bus stop and everything. Home all day.
I was in so much pain, like, just to even get out of bed.
And then he stayed home Wednesday, and then by that point, he had given it to me anyway. And then we still...
Hey, couples share everything.
Exactly. It's the love. It really is the love. But we both did make it to see Logan on Thursday night, so... Mm-hmm.
Cool. We got to see it last night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're... That is... this is your spoiler warning, everybody. We're talking Logan today, and we're going to talk all of Logan.
Yes, yep. Everything. So, and including the teaser before Logan. We're talking that, too. Mm-hmm.
And the difference is, if you didn't know, if you saw Logan and saw the Deadpool teaser... There's a different version of it if you go online.
Yes, definitely watch the online version that I posted on our page.
Yes. So, but I don't know, what did we do? We went and saw Logan this week. Oh, we're getting a new addition to the family, we decided this week.
Yes.
That we just told you guys about.
Yep, you're pregnant.
It's been announced.
We're changing her name. We're getting a new puppy. She'll be about 12 weeks old when we get her. And it is a rescue.
Something
someone
like
had
that.
Left her and her brother and sister just in a Dropbox at the pound.
Oh.
I didn't know the pound had, like, a drop... I guess they have a Dropbox outside.
Because too many people have, in the past, just left them in the lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there is a Dropbox, and these puppies were way too young to be left in a Dropbox. So a foster family picked them up and have brought them up to this time. We gotta wait till she's 12 weeks, because they're gonna go ahead and have her spayed, have all of her vaccines up to date, and microchipped.
2 days after this comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she has just done it.
Yeah. But they're gonna have her spayed, all the vaccines up to this point for her age,
nice.
And microchipped.
Good.
So all of that stuff's already gonna be done, taken care of. But right now her name's Brooklyn, we're gonna change it to Cassie. She's gonna be Cassiopeia.
Okay.
So, Vicky really likes the Cassie Wonder Girl.
Okay.
The blonde Wonder Girl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So that's we're naming her Cassie. She's wanted to have a Cassie for a long time, so we're getting Cassie.
Very nice.
So at some point, you guys might hear her barking on the show. I don't know. You never know what's going to happen with this.
We'll see what happens. That's right.
So, but yeah. Other than that, what did we? We didn't really do a whole lot else. Just puppy proofing stuff. Because Lucy, when we had her, wasn't a puppy. So
that's
you didn't
true.
Have to puppy proof really anything.
It makes a difference.
You just had to watch the food. That was it.
Yeah, she'll steal the food off your plate, but that was it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we got to puppy-proof the house, get everything ready to go for there, and we're getting ready for concoction this weekend.
That's right.
Anybody who gets a chance or you're in the Cleveland area, check out Concoction at the Airport Sheraton. It's this Saturday and Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the 10th through the 12th, correct?
Yes.
Right.
Okay, and Vicky and I will be up there. Mark and Jim from the Tangible Network will be up there. They actually will have a booth up on the mezzanine above with all the fan groups.
That's right.
Come out, say hi. I will probably have stickers on me. Because I still have some in my bag. I just keep them in the flap of my bag so that I always have them with me.
Nice.
So, say hi. It'd be awesome to see anybody that's listening. Other than that, that was all the new news. Other than, Then we're going to talk about Logan.
Yeah.
But
give you guys a few more minutes.
Yeah.
Actually, well, there are a couple of things that I just thought about.
We have some news stories and stuff, but what else you got?
Well,
what did you think?
Well, no, what do you got? What are you thinking?
Well, actually, there was an interesting sort of surprise for the PS4.
Okay.
And the Xbox One. They re-released, was it Marvel versus Capcom 3 this week at a discounted price.
Nice.
Nobody saw this coming. And it was like an exclusive. At first, it looks like it's an exclusive through GameStop. So Marvel versus Capcom 4 is coming out later this year. Because I already put money down on it.
When did 3 come out originally?
That was with the PS3. So we're talking about 2 years ago.
Yeah, so that, you know what this is? They put it out to start building the buzz so everybody's getting ready to go, oh, wait, I remember how fun this game was, and now all of a sudden, you know what? The new one's coming out. This is going to be awesome.
Right, so I'm like, okay, I'm going to go and you guys just take my money. Because
well, that and Marvel and Capcom had to have something to compete with Injustice 2 that comes out next month.
Right. And see, there's no right now. There's
they got nothing.
Nothing
at the moment.
Well, although you have Tekken, but I don't think Tekken comes out until June.
Oh, they're putting out another Tekken?
Yeah.
That's been a long time.
Yeah, Tekken's out, but I don't think that's until June.
Yeah.
So
I know
yeah.
Mortal Kombat came out last year or the year before. What other big fighting games have there been recently?
There hasn't
Street
been.
Fighter's been putting out some stuff. Street Fighter 5, I guess, was awesome. I don't know if I played it.
Right. Well, now Street Fighter. See, now I haven't played. Isn't there a new Street Fighter that's coming out? There's a newer one.
I don't know. I think 5 was the last one they put. I'm not sure for sure. I'd have to call Cameron.
Right.
To find out.
Yeah, that'd be more him because the only thing I'm looking. I've had my eye on Marvel versus Capcom 4.
Yeah.
But until all of a sudden I see 3, and I'm like, oh.
What I always liked about Marvel vs. Capcom is I was always a Street Fighter guy.
Right.
And the control layout, the way the controls work for that is the same as the way they do for Street Fighter because it's a Capcom game.
Exactly. Exactly.
I remember back in the day, you basically had two types of controls for fighting games. You either had the Street Fighter scheme, which was a lot of rolling the stick and hitting a button and stuff like that.
Right.
Or the Mortal Kombat way, which was back and forth, and 17 different buttons, and it was just...
Right.
But they had a totally different feel on how the controls worked.
Exactly.
So, and it's like, it seems like it's still that way, because if you go to, like, Tekken has more of a Mortal Kombat feel to the way the controls work.
It does.
And Capcom, basically, is the only ones that have stayed with the Street Fighter versions.
Right.
Now, I don't know the newer ones. I've not played those ones,
The one thing I will say, the difference with Tekken, though, was that it was a slightly more realistic approach to fighting.
Yeah.
So there weren't a lot of distance. Like, you know, like how, like with Street Fighter, you had a lot of distance attacks.
Yeah.
Tekken didn't have any of that, but a lot of the more advanced techniques required, like, one button where you grab the person, another button where you're flipping the person, and then it almost like you're trying to build some kind of chemical formula. You know?
I remember one of the early things that happened with Tekken was that it was one of the first ones to put in a 3D fighting arena. You could actually move around the arena.
Yep.
Because Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat before that, and there was other fighting games in there. I think Killer Instinct and some of the other ones, but they were all a side-scroller almost.
It was all side-scroller.
It was a 2D side-scroller.
Yeah, but it was Tekken was the first 3D, or like...
Yeah, it basically had a more... It wasn't just straight back and forth. You could actually roll around the arena and stuff.
Exactly.
So, but yeah. Well, that, and I was surprised. It's been a month or two, a month or so since we turned on our Xbox, because we have a 360 and we don't have a lot of time to play.
Right.
But Games with Gold actually gave me Star Wars Force Unleashed at the end of February.
Oh, really?
Oh, nice.
And I have Force Unleashed on the computer, but I've never had a chance to sit down and actually play it.
Right.
But on Xbox, from what I've heard talking to other people, that game it was designed to be a console game that was ported over to a computer. So the computer, the controls were a little bit clunky and stuff with it.
Right.
Whereas now I actually have it on the console and I can actually play it. We played a little bit. The first have you guys played that one?
I never played it.
The first mission, before you learn to do anything, you're playing Darth Vader walking through killing the Wookiees on Kashyyyk.
Nice.
Force choke, throwing them across the screen, all kinds of fun stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Well, this is the game where you actually play as a Sith apprentice.
Okay.
That's what Starkiller in this one, which is Sam Witwer's character.
Right.
And actually, we looked at, since I've not played it, I wasn't as familiar, it looks like Sam Witwer too.
Really. Nice.
So, But that's one. We should talk, see if we can get a hold of Sam Witwer and talk to him.
Yeah. Well, you know, we know have, somebody.
Yeah, we know some people.
Yeah.
So, but no, that was cool to see that we're getting that. But what else did you have, Kyle?
Did you know? And I
sounds like a PSA. The start of a PSA.
That's right.
Did you know?
I was in my excursions over the week. I discovered something today, specifically this morning. Did you know that they actually kill people in the Goosebumps books? They actually kill people in the Goosebumps books, man.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I'm like, you know, this
can
is...
Can you tell he's never read any?
I've never read Goosebumps, but they're horror books.
They kill people.
I know. I'm just saying, I just didn't think they... I didn't think people actually died. I feel like maybe somebody maybe disappeared. Or, you know, maybe...
Because they were for kids?
Yeah.
Maybe disappearing is dead.
Yeah.
No, they
why, did you read the Goosebumps book?
No, no, somebody, I was talking to somebody and they're telling me about how like some of the Goosebumps books are actually scary to kids. And I just remember how the show would be on Saturday morning. I'm like, how scary is this? And they told me about something that
happened. Well, yeah, there's only certain things they could do on television.
Right. Yeah, on television there's a lot more censorship than there is in books.
But then they told me that this one person was actually killed, like they drowned in, at a sleepaway camp or something like that. I'm like, really? They actually kill people?
Have you read any, like, original fairy tales? Because people get killed all the time.
Yeah, but that's
all the Grimm's fairy tales and stuff.
Grimm's fairy tales are scary.
But that's original fairy tales. That's
different.
But
those were for kids.
But that's different.
The Disney ones.
Yeah. That's different. You know,
you can't look at the Disney movies and say this was the fairy tales. No. Disney fight it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
so
that's
Kylan's lesson for this week. He learns that people die in Goosebumps.
The Seven Dwarves is like messed up.
Oh my god, it is.
Well, actually, speaking of Disney movies, we were talking about you guys. The next movie, one of the next movies we're going to review is probably we don't talk Disney a lot on here,
right?
But we're all fans of Disney.
Yep.
And I don't care who you are, when it comes to Disney animated movies, in your top five is Beauty and the Beast.
Mm-hmm. Not mine, but okay.
Well, you know Disney enough to know that that's on.
Yeah,
probably 95% of everybody's list. Beauty and the Beast is in the top five.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows the new movie's coming out, so we're going to do a review of that movie as soon as it comes out, just like we're doing Logan today.
Right.
So go see it.
I don't think we'll have to convince most people to go see it.
No.
But, okay.
So. But, Ms. Dawn, you had some news stories.
I have just a couple things. One thing I found that was interesting that I just learned this weekend was, for those who don't know, there's a building in Atlanta called the Georgia Archives. It's a very old building. It was opened in 1965, but has been closed for years and used as pieces for sets. And it was used as the building for PIM Technologies in Ant-Man. And this morning, Sunday morning, at 7 a.m., they demolished it live on television.
That's just what I'm thinking of. There was, if I remember, it was a tapestry or a ginormous painting.
Yeah.
That was a Civil War painting that was done right around the Civil War that was in this building.
Yes.
That was so huge they had to actually break it into pieces, break the roof out of the building, and take it through the roof to get it out to move it to its new location.
Yeah, it was one of those made...
It was a mosaic of
made
some sort.
As it was built sort of thing, yeah.
Yeah, but they saved it before they demolished this building.
Exactly. And they used 500 pounds of explosives, and it was a 55,000-ton building...
Nice.
...right in the middle of downtown Atlanta, and it was imploded, fell at a 45-degree angle... And that was at 7 a.m. on Sunday.
That is always impressive when you actually see... Because the way these cities are built, like Akron...
Yeah.
If you wanted to, you could watch that was happening when they put it in the baseball stadium in Akron. Mm-hmm. And you could see them demolishing the buildings. And you could have a building 20 feet away, and they'll drop this building dead center right where they're at. And not hit anything else.
Nothing else gets touched. So that's what they had to do here, because it was, you know, right in the middle of downtown, other buildings around. And if you do a Google search for the Georgia Archives building demolition, or that you'll find the live video.
Wow,
they have the video out there. So
I love those ones, the demolition ones.
So that was kind of a cool little thing that they made sure that it got on the blogs because it was the PIM Technologies building.
Yeah,
and the thing that caught my attention was the fact that they said PIM Technologies to be destroyed. I'm like, what?
So what are they going to do if they do an Ant-Man 2?
Well, they destroyed that building in the first one anyway with the tank. The building was pretty much destroyed as it is.
Oh, yeah.
So it doesn't matter.
that's like the big news they made when the MI5 building was leveled in London.
That's right. And
they did it in Skyfall.
They made it part of the movie. That's right.
Or no, that wasn't Skyfall. That was Spectre.
It was Spectre.
That was Spectre. But that's why they did that in Spectre, was because they were planning on demolishing it anyway.
Exactly.
Isn't it nice when they're going to do something that you want to do anyway?
Yeah, exactly. And think about it. The movie crew doesn't have to spend all that money on all the explosives and that kind
exactly.
of thing.
That's true.
They're saving a little money for themselves. One of the other pieces of news I had was that over the course of the week, every day they were releasing someone who had been cast in the Inhumans show.
Okay.
And then by the end of the week, they were basically like, well, here's your entire cast, and we're confirmed that Lockjaw is going to be in it.
This is actually going to be a short-form show like they did Carter, isn't it?
Yes. It's 8 episodes is what they're looking at. And
I have an idea. I know when they're going to put this on TV.
And it's in the fall. They're releasing the first one. Is it an IMAX? They're releasing the first episode in theaters or something.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
By the end of the summer. So they're doing it a little different to bring that out to people. Well, and yeah, it's 8 episodes, and it's supposed to be in the fall after they release that first episode.
Lucasfilm has done that a couple times with their with the different animated series.
Right.
And it being a sister through Disney, Marvel, it makes sense for them to do it too.
Right. And so the entire, for anyone familiar with the Inhumans, there's the royal family is the main characters. So everyone there has been cast. They said early on that the entire royal family would be in it. And some of the names of who's been cast are familiar. The main characters will really be Black Bolt and Medusa, who are the king and queen.
Okay.
Black Bolt is the one who doesn't talk because his voice is really strong and does things and all that kind of thing. So he doesn't actually talk for the most part until he has to use that power. The one who plays him is Anson Mount. He might look familiar if you look him up. He's been on a Western drama called Hell on Wheels.
Okay.
I don't recognize him from anything else, though. The one playing Medusa is Sarinda Swan. Most recently, she was on Graceland, and years back, she played Zatanna on Smallville.
Oh, nice.
So we do have a tie-in there. The role of Maximus, which is Black Bolt's pretty much evil brother, right? He's the evil brother.
More
Maximus,
or less.
Yeah. Is appropriately going to be played by Ewan Roan, who played Ramsay Bolton on Game of Thrones, the most sadistic, nasty villain there has ever been on a TV show in a long time. And, of course, he was my favorite character, and then he got killed.
Because Game of Thrones?
Yeah, exactly. But he got eaten by his dogs that he had trained to eat other people.
It was awful.
So it was a fitting death. But anyway.
Karma.
So, so he's playing the villain, appropriately enough. We have another character called Karnak, who's an expert martial artist, and kind of, he almost seems to be an in-between in terms of good and bad, but he's being played by Ken Leung, who was on Lost, and also he had some role in Force Awakens.
Okay, well, give me a minute.
So, and then, you know, I'm not going to go through all of them. Those are like kind of the primary characters, and like I said, they did confirm that Lockjaw would be in it. Lockjaw is a massive, essentially dog. He looks a lot like an English bulldog. Massive in the sense of, like, he's 20 feet high sort of thing. He can teleport. He has this thing, and he teleports, and so he's part of the royal family. And so they'll be spending money on CGI.
I recognize
that
Ken Leung.
Yeah. So it's just kind of cool. They released all the cast names and that kind of thing. And
cool.
That's out there,
now, is Daisy going to be in this? So Daisy? She's been basically from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Because she's been, to this point, she's been, everybody's basically liaison to what is Inhumans.
Not at this point. They haven't tied it directly to other shows yet.
Okay.
So, there's a possibility, of course, but no, they're not actually tying it directly to other shows. They're probably going to have the Inhumans on their own, in their own world for at least. And if it goes well, you would think in further seasons they would tie it together with things. But they've got a lot of background and origin story to deal with first. So, and being only 8 episodes, they've got a lot to put in there. Yeah. So.
Well, a lot of times, though, you see, it seems like the 8 to 10 episode series are sometimes a lot better than the full season run shows.
Right, because you have to get to the point.
Exactly. You have to move the story along. You have to deal with pacing because you don't have a chance for any kind of filler stuff.
Right.
No.
Right. So hopefully that, but it's obviously quite an investment for them considering the type of powers these people have. Like, if you don't know Medusa, the reason it's an appropriate name for her is her hair is her power. Her hair is massively long, and it has a mind of its own, and she can control it almost like tentacle sort of thing.
Okay.
And it's very, her hair is actually strong. Like, she can do things mm-hmm. with it. So, there's a lot that they're going to need to do with CGI in the show.
Yeah.
So,
this is going
to
be a, what it is.
It's a money show.
Eight-episode show with a budget of a full 23-episode show.
That's right. That's seriously, exactly what it's going to be.
So, but this is actually also one of the first ones we've seen that Marvel has changed their plan. Because this was originally supposed to be a movie.
Right.
That mm-hmm. they've turned into a TV series now instead.
Right. Which actually is a good thing, because, you know, like we've said before, you get to explore things in more depth.
Yeah.
When it's a show versus just your couple-hour-long movie where you have to introduce everyone and get to the point really fast.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah.
Cool. And actually, we had to... You actually found some interesting things from our buddy Mike McFarland.
That's right.
With his pests. Now, remember, the Kickstarter is still going for pests, and Dawn will give you all the information for that here in a minute, because she has it right in front of her.
I do. Interestingly, earlier this week, Mike had tweeted about an article that covered pests, and I guess they had talked to him. It was a bit of an interview for him, too. And... it was in, I believe it's Pest Management Professionals magazine.
Sounds like a really real page turner.
I mean, this is a legit industry magazine for pest control, and they, I don't know if they came across his game or he told them about his game or something, but they wrote an article about it.
Nice.
About the fact that, you know, he had experience with pest control professionals when he was having the infestation that inspired the game. and so they wrote about it. So, I mean, it's kind of proof that you get your bit of marketing wherever you can.
Exactly.
And
it's working. It's working because he's doing pretty good on the, you said, on the Kickstarter.
Yes, his Kickstarter, as of right now on Sunday, is 75% funded.
Okay.
He's got $7,735 of the $9,500 goal. It as of Sunday has 17 days to go, so that makes it what, about 14, 13?
Something like that, about 2 weeks.
About 2 weeks by the time this airs. So there's still plenty of time. Go look up Pest the Game on Kickstarter, or just look up spontaneously combustible games. Either one of those will get you there, and we've shared the link before. It'll be in the notes for this issue, mm-hmm. and we'll be retweeting it and everything anyway. But.
And also, like we said about Concoction this weekend coming up, Mike and probably a couple of the other guys will be at Concoction this weekend, demoing in the game room.
Right.
And it's also Pest is part of the play and take. So if you play it in the play and take at Concoction, you got a chance to take home one of the demo copies.
That's right. And I mean, really, if you go ahead and support the Kickstarter. You only have to support it at the level of $39 to get a copy of the game.
That is awesome. I think he said once they actually do go to full production on it, they're it's going to be right around there anyway, because that's a normal for this type of game. That's the about
and it has a lot of parts. It's not just some like fold out board and a few tokens. I mean, it's a tile building game. So you have tiles that create different rooms and layouts.
Yes.
You've got your tokens. You've got other bits and pieces and cards and dice.
Well,
there's a lot to it.
Little wooden blocks, I believe that.
Yeah.
Are the pests
mm-hmm.
that you're
right.
trying to exterminate through the house. You got a queen sitting around. That's
you have the standees. That's right.
So there's a lot of stuff that's into this. And actually, I played it a little bit with him. At Odd Mall in December, and I didn't get a chance to play the whole game, it's Odd Mall.
That's right.
But
right.
It was fun, it was easy to just sit down and real quick to learn and go.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that difficult. So check that out. Also, remember a couple weeks ago we had Seth Breedlove on the show. Well, his Kickstarter for the Mothman and for the Invasion movie, the Mothman of Point Pleasant and the Invasion on Chestnut Ridge is done. Mm-hmm. But he finished, and remember they were saying they were probably going to be about 200% funded at least. Well, he got $23,773 out of the $9,500 he was asking for.
Nice.
So he has a bunch of stretch goals that are available. Now, if you get a hold of him, you can probably still buy the movies when they come out. You'll definitely be able to buy the movies when they come out. So, I know Vicky and I are planning on, because a lot of times he'll do a premiere down at, like, the Canton Palace Theater. So I know we're planning on at least going to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then we'll buy the DVDs when they come out, or usually he puts them out on DVD, not as much on Blu-ray now.
Right.
Because he does it, I think he was having some problems with the program or something, and he didn't want to put it out unless it looks good and there's no problems on it. So, but those will be coming out. He said Mothman should be coming out summer, or? No, he said, yeah, it was September, I think, was his plan.
Yeah.
He's
fall,
hoping
yeah.
for. So that may be something to talk to him about, getting a screening at Con on the Cob.
Oh, there
you
go.
As a possibility. So I know he's filming Invasion in the fall.
Yes.
So
right.
At least he knows, since he's got a baby coming in the next couple weeks. He's going to say, you know what? I'm going to make sure the baby's around and everything's good before I get the big push to try to get the
plan everything to the letter right now.
Just a bit.
Uh-huh. So do we have any other news or housekeeping or anything else from our friends?
I don't think so. I think that kind of covers it.
Okay. Well, let's talk Logan. Oh, wait. No, let's talk Deadpool.
That's right.
Because Deadpool started off the Logan movie. There wasn't even a notice in the beginning saying this was the trailer.
No.
It just starts into it like a regular either commercial or like the movie is starting.
And let me tell you, I will admit, on Thursday, early in the day, I found out about it.
Yeah.
I read all about it. I knew what was happening. So, because you know me, I will read spoilers. I don't care.
Yeah.
So.
There was a couple of people that said, Deadpool trailer, this is it, or something. I was like, okay, I assumed it was in front of Logan.
Right. Well, the thing is, there had been a debate for the past couple of weeks, was there a post-credit scene?
Yeah.
And then someone from one of the companies actually said, yes, there was. And then someone else said, no, there's not. And so there was a whole back and forth about that, and then they said, no, there's something before the movie.
Okay.
And that was all they would say.
So it's a pre-credit scene.
Yeah, it's a pre-credit scene, and that's all they said about it, and then I saw something on Thursday during the day before seeing the movie. So, yeah, I knew that was coming, but I think it definitely took people by surprise.
Yeah. And what surprised me was there was two or three shots in the trailer that it's about 30 seconds longer if you watch it on YouTube.
It is. And there's... you don't see Stan Lee in the theaters, at least most of the theaters showing it. You don't see him in it. There's the music at the beginning is different.
And when he pops out of the phone booth, the big music where he does the slow motion run,
that
wasn't in the theater.
And the phone call that happens in the phone booth, his cell phone call that he even mentions at the end, and that little bit's not in it because he didn't do it before in the trailer.
And it's cool he does that at the end, because when he talks on the phone, he says whatever the guy's name is, and then at the end you find out who that actually is.
Right, exactly.
Because at first I'm like, wait, is this someone I forgot about? But no, he was actually calling the costume designer.
That's right.
Mm.
And it was funny because Kylan and I were actually debating this afterwards, and I'm like, but he didn't think about the fact Superman always has his costume on already, and he just puts his clothes on.
You guys did notice the music they put behind him changing.
Yes, of course.
It was straight out of Superman from 1979 or 78.
It was the original.
It was
the
original.
It was the original music.
Superman music.
That's right.
That's
when he's
true.
Changing in a phone booth.
So. With all this, of course, it was supposed to be a surprise on Thursday, and by the time you got to Friday, people were talking about it so much that Ryan Reynolds himself released it online. And if you look at what he called, he actually has a the heading he used for it was to describe it as. It's not actually, like, if you look up Deadpool trailer or Deadpool 2 trailer, it doesn't come up as that. It's called No Good Deed.
Yeah.
And then the description he gave of it is, Wade and the other girls from the Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants plan a trip to Cabot Cove. That's how he described it.
Well, I think YouTube now has, a couple of places on YouTube have it as the Deadpool trailer.
Well, yeah, because people have copied it over now.
Yeah.
So initially that's where he put it, but he put it out there because people were talking about it anyway. And like you said, if you watch it, it is a little longer than what was in the theater. And
it's three and three quarters minutes. Three, 3:42.
And it was only like a couple minutes in the theater. Yeah. It felt short in the theater. Mm-hmm. So you get your little bit of hype for two, and there's Easter eggs, of course.
Yes.
When he first gets into the phone booth, on the outside of the phone booth, you see that it says Nathan Summers coming soon.
Yeah.
Nathan Summers is the name of Cable.
Mm, okay.
So
that's what I thought, I wasn't sure.
The Firefly posters, there's a debate over that, because...
Firefly posters, I didn't see those.
When he comes out of the phone booth, there's Firefly posters plastered on one of the walls.
Ah, okay. There's, I know the theater across the street was showing Logan.
Was showing Logan, yeah.
And it had Logan...
The poster and everything, yeah. The Firefly posters, some people think it's just the tribute to Marina Baccarin, who was in the first movie and probably in the second... I have no idea if she's in the second one at this point. but there's also some people thinking maybe it's cluing people in that Nathan Fillion could be playing Cable, which I don't think is likely.
Well, I could see age-wise being right, but he's nowhere near big. Cable has to be huge.
Yeah. So I don't think that's the likely one. I think it's more the Marina Baccarin kind of reference.
Now, I could see Nathan Fillion playing some other character.
Yeah, absolutely.
But not Cable.
No, I really can't see Cable for that. The other one that I found just the other day, which I didn't even think about because I'm not... I know a bit about Cable, but not his full story. The word Hope shows up a couple of times in graffiti.
Okay.
Cable's daughter's name is Hope.
Ah, okay.
So, of course, now people have grabbed onto that. and they're tying it into Logan with the possibility that maybe she was one of the X-23s.
Okay.
That's in Logan. And she... Okay, the story with Cable is that he basically rescues Hope when she's a baby and plans to take her to safety, but something goes wrong with his time travel device, and he has to take her on missions with him for a while. So that's part of his story.
So he's going on missions with a baby.
As she's growing and everything and getting into this, and so she becomes kind of the same thing as Cable, being a mercenary sort of thing. So the speculation, pure speculation right now, is that perhaps... Hope in the trailer means that she's going to be in Deadpool 2, coming with Cable, going back to what is the present day, because we know Logan's in the future.
Yeah.
Present day to help prevent the extinction of mutants that's happened by the time you get to Logan.
Which would actually allow them... That's what I was wondering, because how are they going to do this if the mutants are just about extinct? Unless the X-23 program restarts mutants in general.
Right.
How are you going to... Now, we'll get to all that in a minute, guys, right, about the extinction, but how do you get to Cable, where in the future, the post-apocalyptic future that it usually comes from, with Cable and Bishop and all these other characters that are X-Men in the future?
Right. So, you know, there's that. there's a lot of possibilities with this trailer, with little things
being pointed out. And there's also the very real possibility that all of this means nothing.
That's very true.
Because that is the type of thing that the writers and Ryan Reynolds would do with the Deadpool. They is give you all of these little Easter eggs and teasers, and they have nothing to do with anything. They just want to see what people would
say. The only legit thing is the Nathan Summers bit, because that is Cable's name. That's like the only legit piece that's in there.
In fact, he got brain fees.
Yeah, brain freeze. Brain freeze.
Yes.
You know, that ice cream will always give you brain freeze.
But, you know, the whole reason they did this trailer was just give you an excuse to see Ryan Reynolds' butt pushed up against the glass on the trailer.
That's right.
Or on the,
okay, if you get Ryan Reynolds' bare ass on the door of the phone booth, and this was not a, you know, family-friendly trailer, because it was... It was before an R-rated movie.
Yes, they didn't have to be family friendly. This movie was very R.
Yes.
So, but let's get into that.
Let's get into it.
So, we find out in the movie that Logan takes place in the year 2029.
Yes, not too distant future.
Yes, and well, you got to think though. We were figuring out some ages. It's like that's going to put Charles Xavier, that's in this, almost 100 years old at this point.
Yeah, they said he was in his 90s.
Logan is at least almost 200 years old, because in the first X-Men or the first Wolverine movie they did, he was born or whatever in there. Was it early to mid 1800s? I think it was early
1800s. Yeah, it was mid 1800s,
but yeah, it was somewhere in there. Yeah. So he's got to be approaching 200 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's he's been around for a while.
That explains a lot.
That's what, see, I had people who are, you know, non comic geeks ask me about it, and they're like, "Well, I thought he'd live forever," and I had to explain to them he's not immortal. His mutation allows him to age slower, which means he will live longer, but he still gets old, and that's kind of the point of this movie.
Which explains the end, too, because your mutation will eventually slow down anyway. Like, Charles wasn't nearly as strong as he was originally.
Right.
Well, that's why Logan, what eventually killed him, was what should have killed him when they first did it to him, was the adamantium.
Right.
It was basically lead poisoning, but adamantium.
Yeah. It was
poisoned. Vicky and I were talking about that. It's like, that makes sense that as he gets older, his healing factor slows down, and it can no longer cope with the
poisoning. That's right.
Just like Deadpool's, we were talking about, was similar, that he's not as strong healing as he could be because it's already fighting what the problems he has to start with.
Yeah, it's well, his healing ability is constantly fighting the cancer that's in his body.
Exactly. So he could be a whole lot faster and everything else except for the cancer racking his body.
Right, exactly.
Because I know after the movie, when you went to the restroom, there was a guy that walked up and was trying to say it was the green goo and all this other stuff, and I'm like, I'm not going to explain it to you. Let's go.
No, that just turbocharges it a little bit.
Exactly.
So, but it starts in a strange place because Logan is a chauffeur in El Paso, Texas.
That's right. He has a day job, well, night job, but yeah, he has a job.
But
looks like because he's got to buy medicine.
And that's what's the interesting thing is that you find Charles Xavier is a shell of what he used to be.
Mm-hmm.
He has some kind of degenerative brain disease, which they never really explain what exactly it is, but it's given him seizures. But when he does seizures, it turbocharges all the powers he used to have. So the time, he causes giant earthquakes, people freeze paralyzed in place like we've seen in all the movies.
Right.
And he has no control. He doesn't, until Logan can finally get to him and hit him with an injection of something that makes him go to sleep.
Right.
I mean, he is still the most powerful mutant on the planet.
Exactly.
And, I mean, what do you do when...
When you get older and can't control it. You know, like,
well,
that's basically what
it is.
It's him getting older. Because he's still technically human.
Yeah.
He still gets older. His body's still going through the general deterioration. Mm. And what do you do when you have those powers?
Well, and it is insinuated and basically talked about, we don't know exactly what it was, but something happened that he's no longer in Westchester. It was probably the beginning of whatever this is.
Yep.
He lost control and destroyed something.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He may have destroyed the whole town for all we know.
Right. Yeah.
So,
and you don't realize until it gets a little bit into the movie that the whole reason that Logan has to have a job and has to pay for the medication is because no other mutants exist anymore.
Exactly. Right.
There's
Logan's
no one else.
The mutants.
Yeah, he's not part
as far
of.
As they know.
He's not part of the X-Men. There's no group that he's part of. There's no one else helping out.
Yeah, and Charles is the last.
The other one helped hunt him down.
Yeah, well, the other one was mutant also. There's three mutants together, so I'm assuming there are other mutants out there, but there's not many.
Yeah, but a lot of them live normal lifespans, too,
yeah.
If you consider that.
Now, what was the name of the albino? Do you remember?
Caliban.
Caliban. Is he actually from the comics also?
He is, yeah. He's,
okay.
He was a dog, basically.
A hunter.
Yeah.
So, and as you even said, he had helped hunt mutants for some time. So you can almost take from this that maybe the whole thing with Stryker and the mutant registration and stuff may have actually gone through where they were actively hunting and taking out mutants.
Right. That's what it seems
before
like.
Before we find this, the newest version of Alkali, which created the Weapon X project to start with, had created a genetically modified all of the food and water to start destroying the mutant gene.
Right.
So that people couldn't have mutants anymore. No one would end up becoming mutants at all because that gene has been removed from the gene pool.
Right.
So that was interesting the way they tied that in. So and then Alkali's like, you know what? There are no mutants out there, so why don't we build super soldiers now that we know the way mutants work and how this works? And they just start designing designer mutants.
Yeah, basically they have their own test tube babies now, and they're using the genes from the mutants they captured and including the genes from Logan.
And that's how we get X-23.
Well, X-23-23.
Yes.
Because they're all part of X-23.
Well, she was awesome. That little girl
was awesome.
Oh, my God. I don't know what stunt woman they used with her, because we have a friend who could have done that, but...
So some of that was definitely some CGI because of the way it was just so quick and but I mean oh my God, she was a great little actress, just period.
Yeah.
You know, and she's signed up for a couple more movies. That's not her only movie. So I don't know where we'll see her, but we will. But the fact that like the whole thing is not just the old man Logan story of, you know, basically the end of Logan.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of X-23
and a new generation of mutants.
And the thing is, some of these mutants that are from the X-23 program, they're from the New Mutants, the names.
That was something we were going to ask, because we don't know. Now, in the comic books, when does New Mutants happen? What is that?
Mm-hmm. Do you remember when that happens?
New Mutants first show up around 1980, 80, 81
Is that the comic books?
Yeah, in the comics. So okay. It wasn't long after you got that first, you got that introduction of the new team with Colossus and Storm.
Yeah.
So what was the
idea behind the New Mutants?
It was a new generation.
It was a new generation of students.
Kind of like Teen Titans. Yeah. You know, it was kind of like a new generation.
So this was a new generation of students, and you have Charles Xavier basically expanding the dream of his school.
Okay.
And so you end up with a new batch, and I think the idea was maybe within Marvel was that this batch would eventually grow into becoming X-Men themselves.
Okay.
Which some did. Some went on to live normal lives within the Marvel Universe. Others, you know, the others went on to either join X-Force or to do something else within the X-Universe.
So basically, it sounds like it was basically Marvel's answer to the new Teen Titans when Wolverine and Perez started.
Right.
Because they started, I think, in 78 or 79 when they first started doing that.
Right.
And so this sounds like it was Marvel's answer to that, because people, if they think of Teen Titans,
right,
they're initially in your mind, you're getting that early 80s team.
Yeah. Right.
Because that was basically the biggest thing in DC at that time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the new Teen Titans was outselling Superman, Batman, Justice League, all of that.
Right.
Right.
Talking about the little girl in the stunts and stuff, she had a stunt double.
Yeah.
Was it someone who was a little person, or?
No, her stunt double's 11-year-old girl, but she's a 5-time North American sports karate champion.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. Nice.
From Denver area, it looks like, but yeah, that's where the martial arts and the flipping and the flying came from.
Yep.
And that's actually something we were talking about that I hadn't thought about, but we were thinking, I was talking to Vicky, and we met our friends Jerry and Biagia that we know from Oddball.
Mm-hmm.
We're at the theater also, how it's like, this movie really could have gone for the PG-13 rating, because really, the language, there was one boob shot, but that wasn't needed. That wasn't a story thing.
No.
That was, you know, we have our rating, we can do whatever
that's
we want.
Right.
That's all that was.
That's right.
Yeah, but
if you changed up the language a little bit, but then just cut back on the blood, because Wolverine, up to this point, we've seen him do basically everything he's doing in this. It's just they cut back on the blood. But then Jerry pointed out, no, what it really would have solidified this was the 11-year-old girl slaughtering and slashing people to pieces. That's what would have given them an R rating anyway.
Well, the producers said they wanted the R rating for the sake of Logan fans.
Yeah.
It was about time to give the fans the real Logan they deserved. Because in all the other Wolverines, sure, you see him kill people, there's not all the blood and stuff, but in the comics there is.
Yeah.
Wolverine is a very bloody character, if you take the real story of it, and the producers wanted to finally give people that character. So even if X-23 hadn't been in it, this would have gotten the R rating, because they wanted to go that far for the fans.
Well, the other one for me, though, was
let the feralness come out.
Exactly, exactly.
And at the end, you do see a feral Wolverine.
I mean, and getting with Old Man Logan plus X-24 that he fights, you needed the R rating for those fights alone, for what the new... Wolverine, the new mutant Wolverine, or whatever they're calling him, was doing. And the way, you know, he got to Charles and he did all this. I mean, you needed the R rating for that.
Well, the one thing that got annoying for me was it seemed like a lot of times the language was put in there because they have an R rating. The way they did it was almost felt forced in some places.
Right.
It's like, okay, just because you've seen
how many, you're used to all the previous ones that never went that far.
I think that's what it is because you've seen, but you've seen Logan in, 3, 4, 5, 6, or 7 movies you've seen Hugh Jackman do Wolverine without all the swearing and stuff, and it still feels like Wolverine.
But now he's an old man.
Yeah.
Old men curse a lot.
The one that got me initially was Charles in the mouth on him.
Charles curses a storm, let me tell you. Oh my God, that's funny though.
But now, in the comic books, is X-24 actually a character, or was this created for the film?
Was X-24 in the comics?
X-24, I'll be honest with you, X-24 comes up much later in the books. I got away from a bunch of the X stuff probably around 2000, 2001, because there was too much going on.
Yeah.
Like, I'm familiar with X-23 because X-23 is current Wolverine.
Yeah,
now.
Laura's the current Wolverine.
So, but as far as X-24 goes, I'm not very familiar with that part of it.
Now, did you guys, it seemed like a couple times, Charles, Vicky was about to point it out, is it me or did it seem like he was calling her Laura, Lauren, Laurel? There's a couple different ways it sounded like. That was just the sound of the theater we were at.
Well, her name is Laura, so, yeah. But being an old man, I mean...
It sounded like he said, like, when she first popped out of the, when they first came to the thing, you know, he's like, Lauren... I swear that's what he said, and later on it was like Laurel, and then I'm like...
Well, the other thing is, though, he's been just communicating with her telepathically, so...
Telepathically.
That mind thing. So he's not necessarily getting the name right there either.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But...
Well, she is... the actress is... half Spanish, half English.
Yeah.
Which
was... When she started talking...
That was hilarious.
At her age, no matter what type of voice coaching you have, you can't rattle off Spanish that fast.
No.
I don't care who you are.
Oh, no.
You can memorize it all you want, but you're not going to rattle it off that quick.
That's right.
What the...
That's right.
And he yells at her to shut up. I died.
Then she switches to English. She's like, you can speak English.
No, at first it was like... It was a shock
that she could speak at all, yeah.
You can speak, and then he's like, wait a minute, and you can speak English? No, this ain't right.
And then she sits on him and drives.
The chemistry they had between the two of them really worked.
Yeah.
And it was definitely here's the one spoiler is the fact that, yes, she is his daughter, genetically speaking, which isn't a surprise, but they have a kind of distanced father-daughter relationship going on.
Yeah.
Right.
They definitely acted like they just met, but she also wanted that parental figure.
Yeah.
You know, so it worked really well that way, I think.
Which I think that was what the nurse was to her.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then she lost the nurse, and then, mm-hmm. you know, what did she have?
Now, we've talked a lot about the movie, but have you read Old Man Logan?
I have not.
Okay, well, what's stuff you know from it? How close is this actually to the book?
My understanding is pretty close. There's, you know, I believe that there's, you know, probably some stuff that probably towards the end they, you know, probably, you know, changed around, of course. But I've been told as far as Wolverine stories go, like if there were any, as far as must read Wolverine stories, that this is at the top of that heap.
Okay.
Personally, like I've read I've read my share of Wolverine through the years. I love the Japan story.
Okay.
And which is what we get in
Wolverine 2.
In Wolverine, in the second one. I followed Weapon X religiously. When they were putting that book out, and that was like in the early 90s, they were putting that one out. It was Marvel Presents, when they finally decided to give the whole Weapon X story in that one. And that's a really good story too.
Okay.
So if you can, like really, if it comes down that there's three, in my opinion, three Wolverine stories that are must reads. It will be Weapon X, the Japan story, and I think you just, if you're looking it up in me, I think you just, it comes up as Wolverine on the tray, under the tray, it's just as Wolverine. And then Old Man Logan. Those three would be the three.
Old Man Logan is a different, it's an alternate universe, it's an alternate Earth.
Yeah.
So, because they had, that came up after they had the death of Wolverine, didn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it came up as an alternative, and it's slightly different. It still has the kind of progression. I don't think it has X-23 in it, though.
I don't think
it, he's
no.
with he travels with Hawkeye.
Okay.
Not with Charles, but it is the old man. It is an Earth where a lot of things have been wiped out, and I think it was like the villains were taking over, though.
Mm-hmm.
They were kind of in charge more than anything. So it has differences, but it has enough similarities to bring the story together. Plus, they took this looking at the other Wolverine movies, too. They had to have a natural progression. And I think they just generally wanted, especially because Hugh Jackman said he didn't really want to move on with Wolverine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and
it's one of those we've discussed before.
Yeah.
That at his age, just like Daniel Craig said, it's more and more difficult to get in shape for the role. And the nice thing is, playing Wolverine at this age, you can tell he was winded when he did stuff. He was actually...
Yeah. He played old very well.
Yes. So actually, it probably was not as difficult to get ready for this role as it was.
He didn't have to be as cut for this role.
No.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, knowing Patrick Stewart didn't want to move on as well, like, they kind of needed that premise that, okay, we've got a movie where we can kill both of them off.
Yeah. But, and the nice thing was, if you watching these movies, starting in, I think, 99 was when the first X-Men, you get to see the origin of both of those characters. You and through this 7 or 8 movies total we've seen with these two actors in it, you see their entire life just about and the finish.
It makes sense that they're together at the end. Like, it makes sense that Wolverine is the one looking after Charles.
Exactly.
If you see, because basically Wolverine was how Charles started.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, so.
That's true.
It definitely makes sense.
Now, getting into the villains a little bit more, the guy with the cybernetic arm. Now, is that a, I don't remember his name from here, but was he a character out of the comics also, or is he new for this?
I think he's more of a... I'm not very familiar with that character, but a lot of the characters that they take from some of the Wolverine stories would be amalgamations of other people. It's sort of like what they did in... in the Wolverine. All right, like in the trade, Silver Samurai is the main bad guy.
Okay.
Right. Well, one of the main bad guys. And there's also Mariko's husband. But they changed things around so that also Silver Samurai, Mariko's father, rather, and I think there was another man, and I think it was Mariko's husband, too. But they changed those characters around so much in the movie that you could tell who they took pieces from to kind of create two or three different characters. And I think that's what they ended up doing also in Old Man Logan, because I'm not very familiar with the character that they had as the main bad guy.
Yeah, the doctor.
Yeah, the doctor. I'm not.
Okay.
Oh, because frankly, I don't know why I was expecting to see Mr. Sinister. I don't know why I was.
No, because we're getting him in the regular X-Men book.
Maybe that's right.
We've already teased that in the regular X-Men movies.
Maybe that's what it is. But either that or maybe somebody he was a little bit more. Oh gosh, there was this one guy, and he figures prominently in some of the books from the mid-90s. And I wish Heather was here because
we're sitting here talking. That's what I'm thinking is like we should have had Heather sitting here with us for this one.
There was this one guy that was like he was a geneticist, and he was actually he wanted to create a country just off the coast of Australia. It was called Genosha.
Yeah.
So we end up finding out that Genosha basically is almost like a mutant version of South Africa in the 90s at that point. And so this guy was behind the creation of that, and I was almost expecting to see... I think you almost kind of get a version of that character.
Okay.
You know, because this guy was the one who was behind the,
keep talking.
Yeah, this guy was basically, okay, true, he's behind, he's responsible for the destruction, more or less, of mutants, but also for the creation of mutants, but more or less as we choose.
I'm wondering, because, talking about the Reavers, basically, where they're... Marauder, or the guys, the bounty hunters.
Right.
You see how many of them had cybernetic limbs.
Right.
I'm wondering if that's not because of Laura.
That's true. Searching for her all that time.
She was escaping and all the rest of the mutants, if they hadn't taken out these guys, and already they were losing limbs left and right.
Right.
And you notice what they called him when he said about the cybernetics. He's enhanced. Which enhanced humans is a Marvel term.
Right.
That's right.
Straight up.
Right. And see, now, you know, if you had cybernetics, within the Marvel lexicon, to have cybernetics falls under enhanced as well as
all superpowers and everything else.
Right. I was like, oh, okay, they're throwing enhanced.
Well, in Marvel is basically DC has basically 3 different types of powers. Marvel enhanced is everybody that's not an alien, isn't it? Basically, if you have powers but you're not an alien, an enhanced human, obviously.
Right. So like if you had powers. But you're not, like, if you gain power somehow.
Now, isn't enhanced something you get added to, though? An enhanced human is starts as a human. There's no mutation, no powers.
That was the third one. Yeah, mutants was the other one.
And it, once you're added to, that's the enhancement. So, like, cybernetics is always an enhancement because you don't have a power at all.
Yeah, it until was you have scientifically that. Added.
Yeah.
That's okay, like, here, okay, so...
Like, Iron Man is enhanced.
No, Iron Man is high-tech.
But he's enhanced, too.
Well, not, yeah, but he can take it off. He has no power.
He has the arc reactor.
No, okay,
that's
now,
enhanced.
Well, okay, at that point, he had the arc reactor, but the arc reactor didn't give him powers. The arc reactor kept him alive.
Well, that's an enhancement.
No.
He shouldn't be alive.
But, okay, like Captain America is considered an enhanced human.
Scientifically advanced.
Yeah, that's chemicals.
Spider-Man's enhanced.
Mm-hmm.
So, Daredevil's enhanced.
What does, like, a Doctor Strange fall into?
Doctor Strange is a mystic.
Okay.
So,
now that we've gone into that tangent.
So, hey.
So well, the other guy, the guy that works for Pierce in not Pierce, the guy that works for Rice in the movie, the Doctor, is Pierce.
Yes.
Pierce, you can just look up the name,
Pierce
too.
Is a villain.
Okay.
From the X-Men.
Okay.
But he was in the movie, they've only given him the cybernetic arm. He was basically Cyborg in the X-Men, as an X-Men villain.
Okay.
He was mostly cybernetic.
Right.
But, yeah, because they have him listed as, you know, portrayed by in Logan. So.
And the interesting thing is, this is 2029, the near future, but right. It looks like, you can tell, this is a world that has dealt with superpowers and stuff in the past.
Yeah.
Right.
Because in the opening scene, when Logan, when the Mexican guys are... trying to swipe his car, wheels. He comes out, pops the claws, and they don't run scared.
No,
they're like, "Oh, well, okay." Yeah. It's like, well, they've dealt with people like this before,
and that's how you know something's different with Logan, because they pretty much bash him up before he goes wild.
Oh, the right. Best part is when he pops his claws, and the third claw doesn't go all the way out. He looks at it like, "Wait a minute."
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Got to pull out some of that Viagra or something.
But he needs a little WD-40 in there.
But that was painful. This whole movie is painful to watch.
Yeah.
Literally, figuratively, everything. Because you've got these older characters and, like, you know, with that third claw not coming out and after the fact, he's pulling it out of his hand
to make it work
properly.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like... And seeing the scars on him and how difficult it is for him to pop the bullets out now,
yeah.
And you know, that kind of thing. It's painful to watch, and it's hard to watch Charles
half the
time with
it is.
As he's aged, and Charles is basically just, aside from his powers, a decrepit old man who's just waiting to die. It's hard to watch.
Yeah,
and when he's in the bunker at the beginning, he is very cantankerous.
Yes,
and
well, it's kind of like because of his powers, his brain is all over the place, so until he gets his meds, he just keeps rambling because everything's in his head.
Exactly.
And he's going through, what was it, a Taco Bell commercial at one point?
Yes.
He's talking about a chalupa or something as he's rolling around. So, it's a painful movie to watch for the aging process of these characters and for the violence, etc. as well, so...
Well, that's, once we get to the end of the movie, we find out they're trying to go to Eden, which was actually... And the funny thing was how many X-Men comic books were in this... show,
right.
This movie.
Right.
Someone had actually taken the story of the X-Men and made comic books out of it.
And they totally recreated the comics, too. These comics were made just for the movie.
Oh, they were?
Old issues. They were specifically made for the movie so they could drive the plot in that way.
The idea of Eden in the comic books there, is that actually something from the comic books that we have now?
No.
Okay, well, do you think it was actually a placeholder on the other side of the border, the Canadian border?
Well, I mean... They were able to find the meeting point.
But that was the fire tower.
Yeah, but I mean, the fact that they were able to find that and getting across the border makes it a safe place, period, because obviously when the Doctor and them are chasing them, they keep saying, don't let them get across the border.
Well, you could see, they had actually, the Doctor, remember in that one gymnasium, was talking to obviously a U.S. government official.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, what he's doing in Mexico is illegal in America and Canada, but the Americans are allowing them to work in the U.S. to collect what they were doing.
Right.
We won't let you do your experiments here, but we'll give you range to come get it. And it looks like Canada doesn't.
Right. No. And you have to remember the fact that, the Weapon X program was in Canada.
Yeah, that's how I started in Canada, and now they can't go back.
So it's a possibility that is the Eden they're going to, that the buildings that they seem to believe are there.
Maybe up at Alkali Lake?
And they could end up there.
Nice.
I mean, because they were what, in North Dakota?
They're in North Dakota.
That's the middle of Canada.
Yeah,
so
was it?
They
yeah,
go,
Weapon X was
and
Alberta,
Weapon
wasn't
X
it?
Is in the west. So
I was saying, it was in, I think, Alberta.
Yeah,
Alberta.
And that,
yeah.
That's one province short of the coast. So
yeah.
So they're not far from it. If you think of where they cross,
do you think we might actually get to see Alpha Flight?
That's a possibility.
Well, you got to think this is in the future, and the way that Dr. Rice was talking, mutants all over the world are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to see Alpha Flight, I don't think it would have to be non-mutant,
right?
Which kind of doesn't work for the way Alpha Flight actually.
But see, that's the one thing I'm curious. How are there no mutants? Do they just hunt them down to extinction, or
well, between that,
or
and,
they're just hiding?
Well, they explained it that they changed the. They put whatever was in the food and water.
They actually
the
put chemicals in the food supply
that would kill off the mutant gene.
But you know that there is going; it's still going to be some.
They're still yeah, definitely going to be.
There are well, we said that earlier that there are obviously there are mutants.
There
out.
Yeah,
because Charles and Logan and Caliban, they were mutants. All three of them. They
I mean, and Logan was trying to have a regular life.
Yeah,
so. There's a strong possibility they're everywhere else having regular
they're
lives.
More in, like third world country or something.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
That.
Yeah. Well, that and the people that who did see him pop his claws and stuff knew what was going on. Yeah. It wasn't like they had never seen a mutant before and never heard of mutants.
Right.
Oh yeah, they had comic books too.
So, well, yeah.
Exactly.
This was the first a huge meta thing there because I didn't expect them to have X-Men comic books in that X-Men
mm-hmm.
movie.
Well, see, the funny thing is the two people that they got to work on that comic, I believe, were it was Joe Quesada, and I forget who the penciler was. But anyway, one of Joe Quesada's first jobs was to work on an X book.
Okay,
and
a lot of guys in Marvel, because there were so many X books in the 80s and 90s, their first job was working on an X book.
Working on an X book. So he and this one guy, they worked together once, and it was great. And they really enjoyed working together, but then they never got to work together again because Joe went off and did his thing, and this penciler went off and did his thing.
And Joe, at this point, does he even write books anymore or
he's,
draw?
No, he's
in charge of. No, wait, he's moved way up in the ranks.
Yeah,
I know
he's
that.
Way. He's like
he's the man in charge.
He's the man in charge. But they approached him to do one more X book.
Okay.
And
with his old partner.
With his old partner. So, so he got to do one last X-book with strictly for this movie.
Okay.
So
that's like hearing Jim Lee on a comic book. If you ever hear Jim Lee writing something now or drawing something now, you get it.
That's
he doesn't
deal.
Do it. He doesn't have time.
I'll be interested to know, though, if they decide, because people are talking about the comics within the movie, if they decide to actually release this as a special comic.
That'd be cool if they
did. Well, they had a stack of them, so there was five.
Yeah,
or six
well, there was only one that they showed pages. Inside. Yeah. So, but it'll be interesting to see if they actually decide to do that as a special edition or something. You know.
So overall, I think it was a good movie. It was a totally different feel than any of the X movies we've ever had.
Yes.
It was
not your typical comic book movie, and I've seen a lot of both critics and comic book fans say it was just a good movie.
Yeah.
Period. Personally, I think you have to know something about Wolverine to see the movie. Like, it is a good movie overall, but in order to really get the full effect out of it, you have to have at least seen one or two of the Wolverine movies to know where it's coming from.
Or the X-Men movies.
Yeah.
Any of the X-Men movies. So, what would you have to keep?
I was going to say that I was thinking about the difference in the claws. How she's got claws on her feet and he doesn't.
Yeah, that was cool. She has two claws in each of her hands and one in one toe that we've seen. We didn't know that she may have one in the other.
Yeah, I'm
one.
Not sure if she's got one in each. But
the fighting that Laura did, where she swings up around and hits people from behind because they're not expecting a blade
a
in her
foot.
Foot.
Yeah,
no,
that was pretty awesome.
That was amazing.
But Charles talks about it being like the lioness.
Yeah,
because they have the extra claws and they put up the bigger fight.
Yeah.
For everything.
So, but no, I. Really, I don't think, because of the way comic books have permeated the mainstream now, if you just know the character of, or if you know who Wolverine is, that he's just guy with claws, you'd understand, you'd have no problem watching this movie.
No.
Yeah.
Because a lot of it, like you said, it being a good movie, it basically shows, even if you know nothing beforehand, you know it's a guy who's down on his luck, who's leaning heavy on alcohol and other things, and just what happens to him from here.
Yeah.
People can identify that character whether or not they know who Wolverine
is. That's true.
Right.
That was what that guy started off walking up to me. He drinks too much. And what it is he was medicating himself.
Yeah.
He didn't understand what was actually going on.
Exactly. That was
just
point.
Like another guy that was following him when he went into the hospital. Oh, you're a druggie. know what was going
right,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm. He wasn't getting the drugs for himself.
Exactly. No. And, well, interestingly, another take on the movie is that, you know, you have the end of Logan, you have all this going on, but you also have an origin story, and a lot of people take it as the origin of X-23, but it's also the origin of either New Mutants or X-Force, with all those kids.
That's what we were wondering, because that's why I'd asked about mm-hmm. New Mutants later, is like, because we know there's a New Mutants movie coming.
Right.
Yes.
Now, are they going to put that into the future with these kids?
That's the question. That's well, you don't know where
work
it's going.
Well, together, even yeah. though they're exactly. as young as they are.
And if so, we don't have a Charles Xavier. Who's the mentor? Who's going to teach them how exactly. to be good right. guys?
That's the question. So you have, and they were some recognizable names with the names. She rattled off what was it, five or six names?
Five or six.
Yeah, but there were like 20 kids there.
Yeah.
Right.
So based on both the names and some of the powers you saw, they're recognizable in terms of the actual members of New Mutants or
yeah.
X-Force.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one, they don't give the name, but there's one who's actually possibly Cable.
Okay.
That you see in the video that the nurse provides, because there's the one kid who has the ability when he goes up against the fighting dummy and throws it across the room
yeah.
and throws the guard across it, and then gets like really angry and starts going after all sorts of things. That's kind of an ability that Cable started out with.
I said, what's Cable's actual ability?
And he's got the telekinesis and the telepathy and the transport, and he's got a bunch of them. But
okay.
the telekinesis, like being able to throw things, that's one of his abilities.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's super strong.
There's a couple kids with that. Basically, if you're watching Star Wars movie,
but there was only one boy who had a slightly larger build
okay.
that was doing it in the video.
But
so,
we also don't know if there's older kids, too, than
exactly.
those. There could
yeah.
be 15, 16, because even that one boy that picked up the tank and dropped it, he's old enough that he could be the leader.
And they said he might be, there was one
Sunspot.
No, it started with a J.
There
was another one that they said he might be, I forget the name of him, but they gave him the specific name that he might be the
okay.
the one that they figured.
Well, and what I want to know also is, are they ever going to go back? Because Logan would have been technically X1. He's Weapon X.
Right.
So where's X2 through 23?
Well, we've seen the one.
Are they?
A few of them he fought in one of the movies.
Yeah.
Okay.
The one girl that was in like the leather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it'll be interesting to see if any of that comes back.
That's true.
Because obviously X-24 is probably the last one since they've killed off everybody that was in there.
Right.
So,
Richter.
Richter, yeah.
The kid that lifts the tank and everything.
Right, yes, yes.
He's a mutant called Richter.
Right.
And that's the funny part. They flipped that giant truck over onto X-24, I'm sitting there thinking, everybody run, because that's not going to stop it.
No, exactly. Like,
he's as strong as Wolverine was in his heyday. He's just going to cut that to shreds.
It slows him down, but...
tell me that X-24 didn't feel like a Terminator.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the fact that from the beginning, that bullet was there, that adamantium
yeah.
bullet, and the fact that X-23 remembered that, and that Logan had told her that's the one thing that could kill him, and it was like...
But how does he know that's one thing that could kill him?
Well, no,
because it's adamantium!
You know,
no, he told her that Logan was going to shoot himself.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
also, in turn, she knew that would probably kill her.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Possibly.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking...
But then it would also kill
X-24. How would he
know
that,
exactly.
that if it goes through his head, he wouldn't regenerate from it, you know?
Well, I mean, all bullets leave fragments.
I don't know. His head's already full of adamantium anyway.
Right. Well, I think, but I think part of it was, given his age and his ability to regenerate, there would come a point where if he blew his head off, it wasn't happening.
I know. I understand the reason for adamantium would be the only thing to actually be able to break through his skull.
Right.
So, but overall, we're actually running. We're perfect on time here. I think it's time to wrap this up.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think it's, I thought it was an awesome movie. Like you said, it was a great movie overall, but it's a great X-Men movie, which we've not had for a couple times.
Right.
Exactly.
We've had good X-Men movies,
exactly.
but not great.
This is probably, if you look over the course of all of the X-Men movies, it's probably the best X-Men movie.
Yeah.
Like, just in terms of overall quality as a movie.
Mm-hmm.
It may not have given you, you know, the huge amount of storyline and that other movies have given you, but... Overall, as a movie, I think it's probably the best X-Men.
Well, that, and also, if you look at 20th Century Fox and their outings with superhero movies,
mm-hmm.
this is, they didn't try to overthink this.
No.
Right.
They gave you a story. There was a and the pacing I thought was awesome because it seemed like the felt like the movie was going a little long, a little bit. But then you move on to something new, and right, something right. new, and something new.
And right. The plot itself, if you look at it, is pretty basic. They didn't get it too complicated. They intended to tell a very basic story, and that's all you needed.
And you know what? And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, exactly.
I think we get so, for some reason, we think complex is good, and sometimes it's not.
I think it's, we don't think complex is good, but if you look at it, I think it's the executives, look at it and say, you know what? You gotta put this, this, and this in there still, too, and then this, and this, and this, and then you get a Warner Brothers movie.
Right. You know what? A steak is perfect with just a little bit of salt.
A little bit of salt, a little bit of pepper.
Well, and you wonder how much Fox learned from Deadpool in doing this movie, because if you think about the original movie in Deadpool, it's a relatively basic plot, and it does not have a huge amount of characters. Of course, they couldn't afford to get all the X-Men characters, but...
Oh, they could. They owned the rights to all of them.
But it worked to have only a couple of characters with him.
It did.
And it's kind of like maybe they learned from that, and that you did not need everything convoluted.
It doesn't need to. And that's one of those things I think we... I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know what? This movie didn't need any more.
No.
It didn't need any less. You got what you...
Mm-hmm. It had a lot of emotion. Like, I know...
Yeah.
I heard... Coming out, I heard a couple people, like, say they were crying, like, because of the deaths in there and stuff. So, I mean, it had a lot to... It had a lot of gravity, and then that. It but did. The movie needed it.
It did.
It was a fitting goodbye for Wolverine and for Charles Xavier.
Right.
Yes.
Definitely.
The last of the original generation.
That's right.
So, but at this point, I think it's time we need to bring out the brownie meter.
Yes, we do.
So, Vicky, let's start with you. Out of 5 brownies, how many do you give Logan? 4 brownies? Okay. I'm going to go...
Epic.
Yeah. I got at least 4.5. Wow. So it wasn't perfect, but it was real good. So, okay. What do you guys got?
You know what? Looking at everything from the first X-Men movie up to now... And all the things that got wrong and all the things that got right, for this one movie alone, I'm serious, I'm going to give it a 5.
Okay.
Wow.
I'm going to give it a 5 because I finally got the Wolverine movie that I deserved.
Okay.
And that's why.
Cool.
Okay. I'm at 3.75.
Okay.
I have issues that I won't bother mentioning because they're my issues. but overall, as you know, generally as a movie, it was a good movie. It's definitely one that is a must see. I'm not sure that I would watch it much again.
Yeah.
I might, you know, when it comes out on DVD or Netflix or whatever, I'd probably watch it one more time. But I don't know that I'd go back and watch it very much.
It is an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Especially if you're investing in the characters, like we said, over the last 6, 7, 8 movies that they've done with Charles and Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
If you really get invested in these characters, this is an emotional roller coaster that has a lot of dips.
It does.
And it hurts some.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
But it hurts in that good way.
It does.
Yeah,
that's weighed heavily in my decision because I was just like, I'll maybe watch this movie maybe once maybe twice over.
Yeah,
sometimes a movie is just so powerful enough you don't need many viewings.
Yeah, there's been a couple of those that I've had that is like I watched it once. It's like I don't need that roller coaster again.
No,
it's a phenomenal movie. I love that movie, but I'm not going back to it again.
Right.
No.
So, not bad. We got that. Overall, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, but as we're getting ready to wrap this up, did you guys have anything else, Dawn or Kylan?
No, not for now.
I'm looking forward to Power Rangers now. I think it's good.
Power Rangers is gonna be awesome.
We got a bunch of movies this month.
At least 4 more big movies this month.
Right.
I know Miss Dawn and you said you're probably not going to go, but Kong Skull Island's next week.
Right.
We have Power Rangers coming up towards the end of the month. We've got Beauty and the Beast. Ghost in the Shell. Now, we were probably going to do Ghost in the Shell, too, guys, because we don't talk a lot of anime, but so we're going to have to do... We'll do some research and come back. And that's what I think we should have Cameron on here with us, maybe, because he's an anime guy also.
True, and I know he's going to see it.
Yeah. So
for March, it's a surprisingly busy movie month.
Yeah. April doesn't look, there's not much.
No.
But then we hit May, and this summer is huge.
Yeah, May starts the big summer rush, so yeah.
So, but yeah, March is huge this month, this year. So usually you get one, or like I said when we were looking at our previews, February, March, or January, February, March is usually your sleeper films.
Yeah.
Your little indie films or the low budget sci-fi.
Yeah, you're like, oh, really sure, cool I'll go ones. See it. Yeah, whatever.
But then when you see it, you're like, oh, wait. That was actually better than I thought it would be.
Mm-hmm.
One of the ones that you guys are probably laughing at me about it, but like Jupiter Ascending was one that they slipped in there that if no one noticed it, but when you actually watch it, that's classic sci-fi.
Okay.
But see, now I've heard good things about Jupiter Ascending, and I've...
He's torn about whether to watch it.
It is old school style sci-fi.
Okay.
Right.
And it's about a ruling family and all this type of stuff. It almost has a Dune feel to it a little bit.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, with all the politics and stuff.
Okay.
So it's worth one watch at least.
All right, okay. So, see, now, I love Dune.
Yeah. It's not quite as deep as Dune
got.
Yeah,
okay, but it's still...
Well,
okay.
I don't know. I don't know if you can get past your boys in it.
Who's in it, yeah. That's why you haven't wanted to see
it. It's your favorite actor of all time.
I know.
It's a good story, but your favorite actor of all time's in it.
Gambit!
Yes.
That's all I'm saying.
And Duke. You can't forget Duke.
Duke.
You know,
so we should leave it at that.
With that, remember you can always find us at geekwatch1.com. Before I get this last, Vicky, did you have anything else also? Remember, we have Concoction coming up this weekend, so if anybody's there, come out and see Miss Vicky and myself will be up there. I'm not sure what we're going to be doing, but we're going to be up there hanging out.
You'll find Andy there, too.
Andy will be there.
I might be there. I don't know.
You should come up and hang out, Kylan. I know Mark and Jim Tangibound will be up there. They'll have the booth set up. You can actually watch them filming interviews for the show. So, other than that, you can find us at geekwatch1.com. Anywhere, everywhere on social media, we're geekwatch1. Also, geekwatch1@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought about Logan. We'd love to hear from you.
Send me an email. I want email. Give me something to answer.
You can also find us on the Tangent Bound Network and the Weebie Geeks Network. And then from there, for Kylan and for Miss Dawn and for Miss Vicky and for myself, just remember,
no matter where you go, there you are.
Hi, this is Mark.
And this is Laura with Cleveland Concoction.
I'm the head of programming this year, and just wanted to let you know that there are a lot of great things coming on. We want you to come the 10th through the 12th of March. We have a lot of cool guests this year. Jim Arir, we have Vladimir Snape, Blubbering Humdingers, several performances from them. We also have a lot of great panels on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, from cosplay all the way to computer gaming.
And if you like gaming, we also have a lot of hosted and open gaming all weekend. Our game room is open 24 hours. Additionally, we also have LARP. If you're interested, we have daytime and evening LARPs.
We also have Q&As with the various guests, as well as we have a lot of great authors for the author's tracks. One of them being somebody who works for the con, Weston Kincaid.
A lot of kids programming running from Friday to Sunday as well.
And we also have some adult after hours again, like we did last year. It starts at 9 p.m., 18 and over.
Our show's actually opens registration on Friday at 10 a.m. Programming starts at noon, and we run all weekend until about 3 o'clock on Sunday.
With a great closing ceremony.
Just remember, that's clevelandconcoction.org. We are all fan-run, volunteer-run group. We are your fandom escape by the lake.
Please come and join us.
You're listening to a Weebie Geeks Network podcast.